So before we get into the sermon, just let me address an important financial matter. I mentioned this last week. I want to keep you informed. So the situation is that for the first 6 months of COVID, when it hit, we shifted ministry structures pretty significantly, shifted everything to be online, and your faithfulness to keep giving your tithes and your offerings faithfully really sustained our church through that time. It allowed us to not only continue with our above and beyond giving to some projects around the church, we also then in the summer decided to start giving the above and beyond giving to projects like Lena and others spread some smiles. A shift happened in September that we don't really understand all of the reasons why, but starting in September, for September, October, and November, our giving started to decline, and for those 3 months, we are accumulatively behind in our giving about $100,000. So that requires us as a church to dip into our cash reserves to keep things going. Of course, the elders and the staff, we're looking at ways to cut expenses. We always try to be as frugal as we can, but we are continuing our call to serve people and to proclaim the gospel. Like, that is continuing to be the case. We know God will come through us as people giving faithfully, and we just ask for you to consider being part of the solution with your own giving of your tithes and your offerings as we finish up this year. You probably know all the ways to give. Checks always work. Cash works. Stock works. We have a great web page on our website that gives all the options. You can give online on all kinds of ways as well. And just ask you to prayerfully consider being part of it. And we'll see what happens in 2021 as we keep moving forward. It's going to be great. All right, so this Christmas season has been mentioned a number of times. We're looking at and focusing on hope. We all need renewed hope right now because 2020, man, it's been a tough year on hope. So we want to move beyond normal hope and set our hope fully on Jesus. He is the hope of the world. So the goal during this Christmas season is to provide fresh and renewed hope to you as we finish up this year. So we talked last week about hope being, by definition, a preferable future that you're focusing on. It's not your now, it's something ahead. And when our focus is locked on hope, we become inspired, resilient, and courageous people empowered by the Holy Spirit. So last week, we talked about how normal hopes have been shifted so many times this past year, and how Jesus says, well, you can actually shift away from normal hope into eternal hope and live in that place. So today, we're going to look at hope through the perspective of Joseph in the Christmas story. I'm very excited about this. This is going to be great. So would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Jesus, we are so grateful. We are wowed and awed that you came to earth to become a baby, to have a mom and a dad. And man, you literally changed the trajectory of everything when you came to earth. We praise you for that. As we were even just singing earlier, we praise you, the King of all kings, Emmanuel. And we are expectant now as we come to your word that you will teach us and lead us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to answer three questions today that relate to Joseph and his story. Here are the questions. What was Joseph afraid of? Secondly, what did Joseph get instead? And then third, what action did Joseph's hope bring him? Right. So that's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to start here with a quick test, an easy test for you, okay, of your Christmas knowledge. It relates to the first question about Joseph. When the angels appeared during this Christmas story, right, they appeared to Mary, the shepherds, and to Joseph. They told them something, and they actually said the same thing to all three groups. What was that? Do you know that? Tell the person next to you, or if you're watching online, tell the people next to you if you think you're, like, this is an easy one, right, by the way. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Now, what were they afraid of? So, growing up, I was taught and I was kind of under the impression that they were all afraid of the angels because angels are intimidating, angels are scary. For Mary and Joseph, that is correct. They were scared of the angels. But Joseph was afraid of something else. What was Joseph afraid of? Now, we're going to read this passage, Matthew chapter 1, verse 8, starting in verse 18. And I'm telling you right now, because I've alerted you, that the answer is going to be so obvious, and you're going to ask yourself as you're reading through this, why have I never seen that before? But Joseph was not afraid of the angel's presence like Mary and the shepherds. He was afraid of something else. Let's read and see what he was afraid of, starting in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Did you catch the phrase? Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Joseph was allowing fear to lead him down the wrong path, which was to divorce Mary. And the angel said, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. So what was Joseph afraid of? That's our first question. He was afraid of normal fears. That's what I'd call them. I think Joseph was afraid of the same kind of normal things we would be afraid of if we were in that situation. First off, we're told in this story, it's very commonly known, that Joseph was a just man. He was a righteous man. Meaning, he took his Judaism very seriously. You know anybody who takes their spirituality very seriously? Probably many of you take your spirituality very seriously. Joseph was respected for being so devout. Other people noticed his strict obedience to God's laws. Everybody with me? I think Joseph was afraid to marry Mary. Mary. I'm going to say that a few times today. It's a bit of a tongue twister. I think he was afraid to marry her because her pregnancy would ruin his reputation. Why do I think that? Because I think we would be thinking the same thing. Oh, I'm not getting involved in that thing over there. Secondly, it's clear from the biblical narrative here that Joseph did not believe Mary's story that the Holy Spirit impregnated her. He didn't believe that story. Meaning, Joseph thought she got pregnant the old-fashioned way. Like any man, he was afraid to marry a woman who cheated on him while they were engaged. Well, what if she cheats on me when we're married? Like, that would be heartbreaking. I think the second thing that Joseph was afraid of here was that he didn't want to risk future heartbreak by entering into a covenant of marriage with a woman that he presumed was a cheater. Aren't these relatable fears? Normal fears? You know, fear is normal. And it's inescapable. See, the goal is not actually to eradicate all fear from your life, because some fear is actually good. You know, fear of the pain that you would have if you put your hand on a stove so you don't touch it, right? That's a good fear. The goal instead is to make sure that the most important decisions of your heart are not being driven by fear. That's the goal. This year has been a fearful year. If we go all the way back to March, almost everybody was afraid of this mysterious airborne disease that was sweeping the globe that we have never seen anything like. We made it through that, and then in the summer and the early fall, different fears emerged. Right, fear of job loss and economic impact, fear of missed or lost education for our children, fear of conspiracies, fears of loved ones dying. And then as we moved deeper into the fall, in November, so many were afraid of a future under the leadership of a president that they did not vote for. I think it's fair to say we can all relate to being fearful like Joseph, because fear is normal. In John 14, he's preparing his disciples with some final teachings before he was crucified, and he told them, anticipate trouble as you're living through life. He told them, you're not alone, though. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you. John 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There's been extensive research done on the power of fear. Fear is one of the most powerful motivators that drive people to make decisions. There's something called a fear cycle. When you're making decisions and being motivated by a fear cycle, you focus on what could go wrong, how you might get hurt, how mistakes from your past might limit your future, how bad events from the past will repeat themselves. Those are all part of the fear cycle. And when you live in the fear cycle, you will make your most important heart decisions motivated by fear. You'll be plagued with worry, and you'll struggle to be joyful and hopeful and peaceful. Joseph was allowing fear of a future with Mary to guide his decision making. Maybe you've been living in the fear cycle for so many years, it's actually become your norm. How do you break that cycle? How do you get out of fear? Well, Joseph shows us. Here's the second question. We already established, of course, Joseph was afraid. What was he afraid of? Normal fears. Well, what did he get instead of fear? He got eternal hope is what he got. The angel said to him, don't be afraid to marry Mary. You can live in hope instead. Interestingly, eternal hope is the antidote to fear. See, there's not just a fear cycle. There's also, here's good news, there's a hope cycle. And when a person is living in a hope cycle, they focus on, okay, well, what could go right? The possibilities of God working out a plan are like on the horizon somewhere. And the future is filled with amazing opportunities because you know God is with me. That's the cycle. Look, eternal hope is all over the words of this angel in this passage. Let me show you. Verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So Joseph was told that his fears about marrying a pregnant woman were based upon false presumptions. Her child is really from the Holy Spirit. God's truth quieted Joseph's fears. In verse 21, it says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So now we see salvation from sin is something amazing to place your hope on. And see, this moved Joseph into the hope cycle because he was thinking about a future which was amazing. Oh my gosh, salvation is finally coming. Verse 23, the angel says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. See, this moved Joseph again into the hope cycle because there's this assurance of God being with his people. Right? When Jesus came to earth, he was God in the flesh. And when you live in relationship with him, his opportunities become your opportunities. And you can place all of your hope in him. Jesus came to be with us. I mean, think about that. The God of the universe and everything beyond chose to live in relationship with humanity, unlike any time prior. That's one of the, like, some of the most relatable and fun parts of Christmas when you imagine Jesus being a baby. He's just so relatable. Right? Like, if you were there, like with any baby, when you can see Jesus and you kind of like, oh, you're tickling him, you're touching him, you're smiling at him, and then you hold out your finger. What does a baby do when you usually hold out your finger right in front of them? Right? They just wrap all of their little bitty fingers right around yours, right? Like, how relatable is that? Like, you could just make eye contact with Jesus and sense his love, his compassion, his concern, all because God came to be with us. Us. That's a limited term, by the way. It doesn't say all. It says us. The us are people who say yes to his invitation to be in relationship with him. And see, when you acknowledge, man, I don't bring anything to you, Jesus, but I will receive your love and I will receive your forgiveness because I believe in you and I place my faith in you, then you become one of God's us. And this brings the biggest, most transformative change life can experience. This means that everyone who's a follower of Jesus can exchange their fear for hope. I was looking on some social media yesterday, and I saw one of my mentors, a pastor in Atlanta named Louis Giglio, wrote about fear. And I thought, well, since I'm preaching on it, I thought that was encouraging to me. This is what he said. "The giant of fear can taunt us, but it does not have the ultimate power. Jesus has the ultimate power. Fear may seek to obscure our view of God and crush our confidence. Fear may get a grip on our throats and try to choke the very breath out of us. Fear may yell insults and try to convince us that we're going to live with it for the rest of our lives, but the giant of fear is already dead. It was conquered by Jesus on the cross." How about that? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So we must, here's what we do then. We've got to focus our hearts on Jesus. that will build up our hope because it's the antidote to our fears. It's saying, my confidence is in a God who is bigger than this fear, whatever that fear is that you're facing. See, that's choosing to live in the hope cycle. What could go right? God is going to work out a plan. The future is filled with amazing opportunities because God is with me. And you know what? You can end this year with that kind of mindset. Jesus is with me. Jesus came to save me. Now, would you like, so this is me talking at you, but now you get to like engage and think. Here you go. You get to answer a question. Would you like to exchange your fears for hope? Would you like to do that? The first step, a helpful step, is identifying, well, what am I actually afraid of? It's interesting. There's, again, lots of research on this stuff. Back in 2014, Chapman University did a very large study on the top five fears that Americans have. And I thought it was interesting because they're different than the fears we have today. The ones that were alive and well 5 years ago. Top one, walking alone at night. I suppose it depends on where you're walking. But I could identify, if it's a scary place, I don't want to do that. Becoming the victim of identity theft, safety on the internet, being the victim of a mass random shooting, or public speaking. Those are the top five they found 6 years ago. Okay? Now, 2020. What are the top fears in 2020? All right, I'm going to give you some phobia words. Let me make sure I pronounce these right. Anthropophobia is the fear of people. It's the most common fear this year. Aviophobia, the fear of flying. That was the most searched phobia in 7 of our states online. The fear of being alone was 3 times that of 2019. So there's a few. What about you? What are you afraid of, and do you want to exchange those fears for hope? You can make that exchange because Jesus came to be with us, and he defeated all of our fears on the cross. 365 times we're told in the Bible, by God, do not fear. In Psalm 23, God says, I am your good shepherd. Even when you walk through the valley of death, what does it then say? Fear no evil. The most searched Bible verse in 2020 is about fear. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Obviously, people have been struggling with fear this year, if that's the most searched verse in the YouVersion app online. And you know, as I was pondering and just praying about this, I thought, you know, like, we struggle with this because I think partly because we don't want to get hurt and we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Right? We can't control the future. Oh, we desperately would like to, but we can't. And we don't want to be rejected. We don't want to be insulted. We don't want those that we love to be hurt. We don't want anybody to be abused. And yet we know this happens, and so we get afraid. Because we know that we're frail. The Apostle Paul compares us to jars of clay. We're brittle and we're easily broken. But when the Holy Spirit fills our hearts, we derive our strength from his strength. Then, because his presence is in us, we become resilient and courageous and bold and not fearful. We can live with hope as the dominant theme and focus of our lives, and we can say no to fear because of Jesus. Now, how about that for some good news that gives you hope today? It's like it shifts the perspective on everything else going on in your life. Here's the last question. What action did Joseph's hope bring? When you have hope, it will bring an action that is different and new. Well, his action was he married Mary. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife. See, because of this encounter with the angel, Joseph realized he was about to make a very important heart decision motivated by fear, right? He's about to divorce her. But hope, it changed everything, and now Joseph is going to embrace Mary as his wife. Hope doesn't change all the circumstances of your life, by the way. It just empowers you to keep moving even when hardship and circumstances start coming along your path. Let's think about a few for Joseph. People still gossiped about this young, scandalous couple. They got married. Joseph's reputation as a righteous man took a hit. Joseph didn't have to be afraid of Mary cheating on him a second time because she hadn't actually cheated on him the first time. But oh, there was lots of suspicion surrounding that. But hope, knowing the truth, boy, it allowed him to not only make the next right decision, but it also kept him focused and moving in the direction that God wanted him to go. See, because of this encounter with this angel, Joseph knew hope in Jesus Christ. And that's the change that can happen in a person's heart when they experience the hope of Jesus Christ, and then it propels them in a new direction of action. This reminds me of another Joseph, a man I met in Tanzania a few years ago. Joseph told me about God being with him and renewed hope that he had because of it. I thought I could just finish off this sermon today by giving you this story. Joseph was a Christian who provided fresh water by drilling wells in the remote villages of Tanzania and all over Africa, actually. In order to get those wells, they had to drill hundreds and hundreds of feet down, hit water, and then build the piping system and bring the water up. In one rural village, Joseph and his team were being cursed by the local witch doctor. See, the local witch doctors like to use power and manipulation to control the poor, uneducated villagers, and they saw Joseph and clean water as a threat to their power. So they didn't, even though it's better for everybody, they didn't want the clean water and the wells in the village. So after days and days of threats, Joseph and his team, they're not backing down. They keep digging, and they were committed to blessing the people in this village. And that's when the witch doctor escalated the situation with this threat. Tonight is the night you will die. Now, anyone would be afraid by that. Tanzania is like stepping back in time. And when you get out into these remote villages, it's all dirt roads everywhere. No electricity. No plumbing, no cell coverage. Like, you are literally in the middle of nowhere. When they say that phrase, I think of Tanzania. Joseph and his team were terrified. That night, they were praying inside their tent for protection. And they heard the witch doctor and the mob approach their tent. They prayed more. And no attack came. The night passed without event. They woke up to a beautiful sunrise. Everybody was safe. The next day, Joseph learned why they had not been attacked in the middle of the night. The witch doctor, he was telling everybody all over the village, we couldn't attack Joseph and his team because of all of those warriors holding swords surrounding their tent. Joseph immediately knew what had happened. There were no physical warriors, by the way, in this village. God was with Joseph and his team through the presence of his angelic army. So Joseph kept drilling with renewed hope in his heart that God was with him, protecting him. And not only did they drill and get wells for that village, they have provided water for hundreds of other villages all throughout Africa. Renewed hope that God was with them. See, God promises and assures us that he is always with us, even though we cannot see it with our physical eyes. We know that there is angelic behavior happening around us all the time, even though we will spend probably our entire lives never seeing it. But this one encounter that Joseph shared with me is just a powerful and amazing story of God giving a little glimmer of, oh, it is happening. Like, think about that from God's perspective, right? He looks at us and he says, oh, please, don't be so fearful. I am with you. Please, don't be so scared of everything and so worried and concerned. If you could see things from my perspective, it would renew your hope in ways that would literally transform your entire life. Every action you take, every motivation for every action you take would be different if you could see things from my perspective. If you'd like to have renewed hope this Christmas season, I'm going to give you three practical tips, and I'm going to hit these in about 1 minute. They're quick. Number one, base your preferred future, that's what hope is, a preferred future, on God's potential, not yours. Secondly, confess your fears to God. Acknowledge them and confess them out to him. Third, ask God to help you trust him more. And if you do those three, renewed hope, it will emerge in your heart like a spring flower. You cannot stop it if you do those three. I mean, just imagine, like, this next week, this next 2 weeks, even the next many, many months ahead. Imagine how this kind of hope would change your life. It's available to you. Jesus came to earth to make it available to you. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Jesus, you give us an amazing offer here. You give us the invitation to cling with a tight fist to hope, because you are the King of all kings. You are the mighty one. You are God. And because of your position of perfect and eternal strength, you offer us part of it by sharing what you have. And Lord, we want to say yes to that right now. Of course, we want to say yes to share that with you. And so we give you our lives, we give you our hearts. Right now, thankful, oh, so thankful that you loved us so much, that you came to earth to save us. Thank you for that, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory because you deserve it all. And we pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen.